It means tonight, Bible says, Jesus continued all night in prayer to God. Tonight, I want you to settle down. I want you to get your Bibles ready. We've been announcing this on the radio for many weeks, and I've had people, a bunch of people call and say, we're going to come and hear that, what I'm going to preach about now. This will be the first time, and I've never heard it done before, and I'm fixing to. We'll need to get that door closed, please. I want everybody in this building, everybody sitting down. This is what we put the work into. Thank you. Young people tonight are growing up into a completely different world than what we did even just 10 years ago. Everything is completely different. When I first started preaching, you didn't have to worry about things like we have now. Try to get a young person's attention. This is what they're doing nowadays. Like a time in school where we got free lunch and the cool kids beat us up. And the rich kids had convertibles and we had to ride the bus.
I know, right? The first thing he did was add me on Facebook, and then he started texting me and messaging me, and I was just like, oh, how cute. But then he kept doing it, and I was like, okay. So then I like looked through all his pictures on Instagram, and I was like, okay, he's a little bit of a creeper. I don't think I'm going to talk to him anymore. Do what? You just beat your high score on Subway Surfers? Oh, my gosh, that's so amazing. Oh my gosh, I have something amazing I want to tell you, too. Guess who I'm following on Twitter now? The mayor. The mayor has a Twitter. I thought it was so weird. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. For our civics homework, will you, like, Skype me or Snapchat me later the answers? Because I really didn't understand. No, I would not ask her to help me with my homework. She is so mean. Did you see what she commented on my photo the other day? She was all like, me, me, me. But then she tried to add, LOL, smiley face like she's cute. No, she was being mean. She is such a cyberbully. Gets on my nerves so bad. Okay, bye. I'll talk to you later.
Did you understand that? You got to be under 15 or weird to understand what she just said. They got them that high, but they know every button. Their thumbs go 100 miles an hour. It's unbelievable. I've seen them girls, I've seen them texting with a thumb and talking to somebody over here. And it was like it had something wrong with a disease or something. Just a fly and typing out words. It's a weird thing. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. I want you to look tonight at verse number 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 29. For a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on the subject, the seduction of social media. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Social media is a category of online media where people talk, share, participate online. That means on a computer, on the internet, on a network. It encourages feedback, comments, and because of this, we are connected to each other like no other generation in the history of the world. Years ago, you didn't know what people was doing in the next, you didn't even know what the people down the road were doing. Now, everybody in the world knows something before it even gets through happening. We're living in a different time. Have you ever wondered why God made your ears so you could only hear so far? How come God didn't make it possible that we couldn't hear people talking in New York? It's because he don't want us to be hearing people talking in New York. Have you ever wondered why God made the world so big? Because he don't want us all together. He proved that in the Bible in Genesis chapter 11. That's the Tower of Babel. God's not an ecumenicalist belief. God wants, he's to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The Lord don't want everybody bunched up together. He wants us in our different locations. And that's why he put us on different continents and different states and in different cities. Over 90% of all teenagers have an online profile and spend 3 hours a day on it. To put that into perspective, if you spent that same time reading the Bible, you could read the whole Bible through in 2 weeks. The amount of time that a teenager spends online, cell phone, computer, or internet. Facebook now has over 1 billion followers on it. Like anything else, it could be and can be used for good. I mean, it's just like TV or radio or anything. You can use it for good. You can use it for evil. But the problem is man has a sinful nature. And most of the things that man gets, he'll use it for bad sooner or later. So tonight, I'm going to talk about this and give you some information, give you some things, and bring you the message. Could be a wonderful thing. You can get on Facebook, and some do, most don't, and now prayer lines, prayer requests, share good news when somebody gets saved by the grace of God, and do all kinds of encouraging things. Every Sunday morning, about 6:30 on Sunday morning, I hear my phone going beep, 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 and texts start coming in. It's a preacher in Georgia that I've never met, 404 number. And he sends me about 5 or 6 paragraphs saying, Brother Danny, you preach today. I'm praying for you. I love you in the Lord. I've never met the man. Every Sunday, like clockwork, that comes in. So he's using his for good and for the glory of God. But the Bible teaches us that because of our sinful nature, most don't. Most teenagers send about 3,000 texts per month. That's an average of 100 per day, and most of them do way, way more than that. They even have a confession page now for teenagers where you tell your secrets. One said, I had an affair with the teacher. Another one said, I brought a gun to school today. I got this. I'm planning on doing this or robbing a store or something after school. And all kinds of things like that. You better be careful. I don't know if you've noticed it or not. You better be careful typing out those texts. One little slip of the finger can make a word say something completely different than you wanted it to say. You know what I mean? And you really better be careful with that sin, because you can send the wrong one to the wrong person and get yourself in trouble real quick. As a lot of them got busted by sending a text and it went to their wife instead of their girlfriend. Don't look down. I'll tell you when we're getting ready to pray. One preacher had to leave his church. For all the women in the church got on Facebook and started saying bad things about the pastor's wife. They started talking bad about her. It's easy to be a big bully when you're sitting behind that computer. They won't say it to your face, but to get on. I think they ought to make a law that anybody who gets on these topics and anybody that gets on the internet ought to have to sign their name to everything they say. Bunch of chickens get on there and write stuff about people and won't even tell who they are. Anybody who writes something to you and don't tell you who they are is not worthy to even read what they say. Say amen right there. If you got enough guts to write it, have enough guts to sign it. One man told me, he said, Preacher, my wife left me. I said, what happened? He said, she got on Facebook. She got in touch with some of her old friends from high school. Next thing you know, she's talking to one of her old friends, and the flame rekindled, her old boyfriend, and she ran off and left me. You say, well, preacher, people did that before. Yeah, they did. But the devil has made it easier and easier and easier for people to fall into sin tonight. There's some weird phrases coming out, like cyberbullying. That means false, embarrassing, hostile information about another person. There's a word called follower. That's a word for Twitter on the social network. There's FB depression, Facebook depression. That means intense interaction because you are accepted or not or rejected by your peers. We'll say more about that tomorrow night. There's now among teenagers what they call sexting, where they send explicit images or pictures of themselves or others. They call it socializing online. There's tweet up. That means a spur of the moment gathering of people who send tweets about sports events, things that are happening immediately, disasters, things like that. Why did God make it, allow it this to happen? Because people are more brave and more brash and more bold. They'll post things on the internet that they would never say to you if they saw you to your face. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in trouble. Man told me not long ago, he said, I don't even bring my Bible to church anymore. He said, I just got it right here in my hand. Now, you can call me a little old-fashioned. You can call me whatever I want to, or you want to. But I think you still ought to carry your Bible to the house of God. You say, why? Because I might say, turn here and hold this place over here and then run this reference here. And you can't do that on that cell phone. You also can't sit there and check the ball game scores and the weather while I'm preaching if you just got a King James Bible in your lap. In the name of the Lord, people, can we not leave them things off for an hour and a half where we can get in here and worship God? Amen. Now, you listen to me tonight. You can't even preach to people no more for them sitting there like this the whole time. I've seen them go and get up and run out the door like this right here and say, I thought I was going to miss a call. You ain't got no call more important than what the Lord's giving you tonight. You ain't got no message coming in more important than what you're coming in here tonight. I done read you the text tonight. It's Ecclesiastes 7:29, and that's your text for this evening. And we ought to learn and teach our kids. When we come to the house of God, we turn the phone off, we leave it in the car. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God and worship God for a little while. Some of you people need to go to the doctor and have a phonectomy. That thing growing out of your ear. You can't even talk to people now. They got plugs in their ears and walking around like that and say, hey, where are you going? Hey, where are you going? Huh? Did you say something? They can't hear God talking to them. We're addicted to those things in this generation. Well, the bad thing is you have a little girl like Sarah Edwards, 18 years old, from our state here in North Carolina. She was reading a text. She crossed the center line, hit a logging truck head on, and died instantly. Angelina Bandino, 15 years of age, was walking near her home, struck by a vehicle, a truck, driven by an 18-year-old boy sending a text, not watching where he was going. Caleb Sorathon, 18 years old from Georgia, sending a text, crossed the center line, and was killed instantly. Hit a truck. They say that you are 23 times as likely to wreck if you're texting or reading text while you're driving. 23 times more likely. If you read or type a text 4 seconds at 55 miles an hour. How many of us have got some and read it while we're driving? 4 seconds with your eyes on your phone, you have drove the length of a football field blindfolded. And if a child run out in the road or anything. You, how many of you have hit the, you almost hit the curb or hit somebody? It's an addiction that we have. They have now proved that using a cell phone while driving delays your reaction time just as much as being the legal blood alcohol limit in your bloodstream. Just like being drunk. Like being drunk. I want to tell you about Amanda Todd. Some of you heard this story on the news. She was only 13 when a boy talked her into sending an explicit picture of herself to him. Now, you mamas and daddies may not know this, but a big majority of teenagers sooner or later get talked into sending pictures of naked or partially naked pictures of themselves on their cell phone. And if they've got the internet on their cell phone, you parents better do some very, very strict checking. Because kids are curious. And they say 1/3 of what's on the internet is pornography. Amanda Todd sent this picture. This boy told her, he said, "I'm going to let it go viral. We're going to put it everywhere." She said, "No, please don't. That was just between me and you." Sure enough, he did. Next thing you know, everybody in school had that picture. The girls begin to laugh at her. They begin to make fun of her. Some of them said when she walked in the lunchroom, all the other girls would go, "Bleh," like they were throwing up. To a 15-year-old girl, that's a lot of pressure. And all her friends started saying bad things about her, calling her dirty words. And Amanda Todd drank bleach, Clorox, to try to kill herself. And it didn't work. Some of you think I'm not on target tonight. I guarantee you, there's many a kid in here tonight that went home when your kid, when your friends made fun of you, or they said something to you on the internet, and the devil said, "Why don't you just kill yourself? Why don't you just die? Why don't you just die?" And they're doing it every day. Two 16-year-olds in Florida did it not long ago. Amanda Todd made a video, put it on YouTube, and made these cards like this. And it said, "I hate myself." You can look it up. It's on YouTube. "I want to die. I have no friends. Everybody hates me." And a few days later, she took her own life. One teenage girl in Canada hangs herself after being raped by four teenagers because she took a picture of her and put it on the internet. Young people, don't you ever think that if you send a picture of yourself to somebody, that it's going to stay private. It might wind up in front of the whole world. You say, "But he loves me. He wouldn't do that." That's what she thought. He loves you today. He'll love somebody else tomorrow. This world ain't your friend. They don't care about you tonight. They'll take everything you've got and leave you with nothing and laugh at you. The devil will take everything you've got and then laugh at you when you're in hell. Please, please, girls. Please, don't be seduced. I want to read you some scripture now. There are several of these. I won't read them all. But one of them is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. And this verse said, "Let none of us suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, Lord, you'd have thought the Apostle Paul wrote this for 2013. Yeah, listen, ladies. Listen, men. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, there are some among you disorderly, working not at all. People who don't work are a lot more worse than this than people who have jobs. Working not at all, but are busybodies. So basically, get mad at me, whatever you want to. I'm not saying everybody, a lot. Basically, what Facebook is a Christian's excuse to be a busybody in other people's matters and then pass it off as being spiritual. The old nature likes it. If you didn't like it, you wouldn't do it for hours a day. That's why you don't pray 10 minutes and you'll stay on the computer 3 hours. That flesh likes it. That flesh likes gossip. That flesh likes to know what other people are going on. Listen, you better beware of anything your flesh likes. Most of the time, the flesh don't like doing something for God. Most of the time, not always. I'm going to say tonight a couple things and I'll be through. You don't know who you're messing with when you get on that thing. And every one of you sitting there thinking, not me. I'm smart enough. I've got it under control. But what you're doing, you're opening a window. You know why they call it thing? Windows pops up on a computer? That's a window to the entire world right in your bedroom. That's a scary, scary thing. In Florida, in a trailer park, little 10-year-old girl lived with her daddy. Mama was gone. And they didn't have a whole lot, so this little 10-year-old girl had to sleep on a mattress on the floor. Right down the street was a wicked, wicked man. They fuss about pedophiles and sex offenders and all this stuff. And then they parade our little girls out in front of the little cheerleaders out high showing their neck. What in the name of God do you think people's going to do? If you dress them like little prostitutes when they're that age and parade their flesh all over the world, what do you think people's going to do? This world's wicked. It's not your friend. You know what's wrong with some of you Christians? You want to get along with the world. You want to make God hip and cool so the world will accept him. We're all lovey-dovey and we're all going. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Jesus Christ has never been accepted by this world. This world don't. If he is here tonight, then crucify him again. He's not this world's friend. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. He is not the friend of this world tonight. You say, well, if you don't sell that negative stuff, we can just make Jesus hip and cool and keep. No, you don't. You don't bring him down to our level. Brother, we go up to his. You don't bring him down where we are. We go to him where he is, and he picks us up and takes us home. Anyway, the pedophile found out. Found out where she was, came in the window, like a computer in the window. Those windows. He came in the window, took this little 10-year-old girl. They searched. Finally, the police with dogs and stuff found her little body 150 feet away from the trailer, buried a few feet down, duct taped all over. And when they did an autopsy, they found out she had dirt in her lungs. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means when somebody, they got dirt in their lung? They're buried alive. She's trying to breathe. And that little 10-year-old girl, after that man had abused her, taped her body up with duct tape, and she watched him dig her grave, and he threw her in there and threw dirt in her face. And I'm going to tell you, when you accept a friend, you don't know who they are. You don't know where they are. You don't know what they are. They may be a murderer, just got out of prison, posing as a 17-year-old girl. And you're like, what? I'm telling you. Oh, you're overreacting, preacher. Really? On TV, it shows a person's backyard. The pale, bloodshot eyes of these two parents. They can't eat. They can't sleep. They had an 8-year-old girl, 8 years old, They looked in one day and they couldn't find her. She's missing. 8 years of age. Parents, look at your 8-year-old tonight. Look at them tonight. They couldn't. What would a man or a woman do for 2 weeks who could not find their 8-year-old child? How a person survives that. My three girls back there tonight, I mean, if something was happening to one of them when they was that age, how could you live? How could you stand it? But that's not all. After 2 weeks, a call came. The mother answered the call. A voice on the other end says, "We got you, girl. We want money," and named an amount of money to send or put in a box at a certain place. She said, "We don't have that kind of money. We're poor people. We ain't got it. We can't get it. He said, "Well, if you ever want to see your daughter again, send the money," and hung the phone up. A few more days went by. About 2 weeks later, the phone rang. Mama goes, "Hello? Hello?" Same voice. "Listen, Mama." She could hear a kid crying. "Mama! Mama!" She said, "Baby, where are you at? Where are you at?" They had her little girl crying. And the voice said, "You want to see her again? You'll put that money in a box in a certain place." She said, "We ain't got it." She said, "We sold everything we've got. We can't have that kind of money." Click! A few days later, a package arrives in the mail. She's a mysterious package. She opens it up, and it's her little girl's index finger. That's true. And another day later, the boys called again and said, "We're going to send her home piece by piece till you give us that money." That's your friends out there in this world. You make, "Well, I got 800 friends." I wouldn't say that if I was you. You don't know what you've got. You don't know who you've got. I'm looking at people right now. Your marriage neither almost broke up, and some of you did because of what happened on this day. And every one of you sitting there saying, "I just use mine for good." That's your problem. You think you're so great and so spiritual and so perfect that the devil can't touch you. You got another thing coming, buddy. He don't play fair. He can get any one of us. He can get me. He can get Reggie. He's smart, brother. You don't fool with the devil. She got one more phone call, and the voice said, "I'll fillet her alive if you don't send that money." How would you like to be that mom and daddy going to bed every night? And she never did hear from him again. She never did hear another word. 15-year-old Amanda Todd, before she died, she said, "I have nobody. I need somebody. Every day I think, why am I still alive?" That's what she said as she died. Now tonight, I've got somebody here that wants to be your friend. He's sending you a friend request. You say, "Who is it, preacher?" He's my friend. He's been my friend since I was 18 years old. He's sending you a friend request tonight. You can accept it or you can reject it. He made a statement one time. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Somebody, the songwriter said, "I found a friend, oh, such a friend." Tonight, I want to show you my friend. He's my friend tonight. His goal is a relationship with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will never mislead me. He will never forget me. He'll never overlook me. And he'll never cancel my appointments with him. He'll never go behind my back and talk and say bad things about me. He'll never be my friend to my face and then turn against me to my back. He'll never say bad things about me when I'm not around. He's my friend tonight. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he's the way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. Thank God, he was persecuted and brought my freedom. He was dead and brought my life. He is risen and brings power. He is reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The school can't explain him. The leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Oprah can't explain him. Nero couldn't crush him. Herod Hitler couldn't silence him. He's the light. He's the love. He's longevity. He's goodness. He's kindness. He's gentleness. He's holy. He's righteous. He's God. He's my friend tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. His ways are right. His words are eternal. His will is unchanging. His mind is on me. He's my Savior. He's my guide. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord. He rules my life. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. And one day when I face death, he'll be with me. I've got a friend tonight. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend. He'll be your friend tonight, young people. He'll help you. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll get you saved by the grace of God. He'll put your name in the book of life. He'll change you. He'll make you a new creature. He'll do what God Almighty only can do. Let me tell you something. He'll never quit being my friend. He'll never quit being my friend. Amen. Dennis Rodman will be our ambassador to the United Nations when he stops being my friend. He'll still be my friend when Islam becomes Waslam. I'm glad to say tonight, brother, he'll always be my friend. He'll be my friend when atheism returns to hell from whence it came. When Hugh Hefner's the president of the moral majority, that's when he'll not be my friend. When Jim Carrey is the leader of the NRA, that's when he'll stop being my friend. Thank God, brother. When Justin Bieber has to work at McDonald's to make ends meet, that's when he'll not be my friend. He's a friend. Thank God, he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll always be there through the ups, through the downs. Can I say to you tonight, I've had some hard times in my life, but there's been just one that stuck by me through it all. I give him the glory tonight. He's never left me. He's never betrayed me. He's never done me wrong. He's never told me a lie. He'll be your friend tonight. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head's bowed, every eye closed tonight. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving. All right. Amen. Okay, all right. We're going to sing tonight. You get out of your seat tonight. Get your life down here and get it right with God. Yes, come on right now. Come on right now. Amen. Come on right now. Let's go, young people. Let's go right now. Move. Let's go. He wants to be your friend. Come on right now. Go ahead, brother. Let's sing tonight. We need some soul winners up here. We need some people that can win souls.
Just
come on. Come on right now. Let's go. Let's go right now. Come on, kids.
One,
let's go tonight. Come on, boys and girls. Be a friend tonight. He'll be your friend. He'll be your friend tonight. Need some soul winners up here.
And that thou bidst me.
Sing, folks.
To thee.
Come on tonight, young people.
Of God I come. I come.
Everybody, let's sing now. Come on.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul.
Come on tonight. Come on tonight, kids. Let's go. Let's get out of your seat and come right now. Come on, let's get down here tonight. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend.
Of God I come.
Come on now. Come on, boys. Come on, young people. Let's go right now, everybody.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
Somebody pray with these tonight.
Welcome, pardon, cleanse, redeem.
Come on, come on right now. Just get out of your seat. Come on. He wants to be your friend tonight.
Promise I believe, O Lamb of God.
Come on tonight. He wants to be your friend tonight. Come on tonight. Just get out of your seat. Come on, kids.
Just as I am without one plea.
Come on tonight, let's go. Come on, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Others, here comes some more. Amen, come on. Let's get down here and do business with God tonight.
Thou bidst He come to thee.
Oh, Lamb, come on tonight, let's go.
Of God I come. That boy there needs somebody. I come.
See these folks right here tonight. This teenage girl right here, we just buried her daddy yesterday. Just yesterday, old Bo had his funeral, died with cancer. Lived 14, 15 years old, hitting this altar tonight. Jesus is the only friend. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. He sent you a friend request tonight. Will you be his friend? Will you let him be your friend? Y'all just stay up here. We're going to pray with you before you sit down. Y'all just keep them up here if you don't mind. We're going to pray with them before we sit down. Will you let Jesus be your friend tonight? Some of you back here tonight, I would hate to know some of the sins some of you teenagers are messed up in.
Yes.
Some of you in some kind of lesbian or some kind of drugs or some kind of homosexuality or alcohol or fornication or all those sins. Listen, I'd hate to know what some of you kids is involved in right now. It'd shock us. God help us tonight. You better run to the Lord quick, because the Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. We're singing tonight, you come. Y'all stay up here tonight. Keep them up here when we pray. Let's sing. Come on, come on, come on, girls. Come on, right now. Come on, get out of your seat, come. Get out of your seat, come on, right now. Come on, just get out of your seat, come.
But that thy blood was shed for me.
Come on.
And that thou be. Come to thee, O Lamb.
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
I come.
Amen.
I come.
Let's sing another verse. Everybody, come on now.
Just as I am and waiting not.
Sing it now.
To rid my soul.
Here comes some more. Here comes some more.
Amen. Dark
some of you men pray to these boys here.
Whose blood can cleanse.
Come on, boys. Come on, boys.
Of God I come.
Thank God some still praying tonight.
I come.
Come on. Come on. Let's go.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
Yes.
Wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve.
Come on now.
Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Are some still praying tonight? While these are still praying tonight, I want every person, if you've been up here tonight to this altar, I want you to come back up here just a second. We're going to pray with you. Every one of you. Just stand right across the front. We're going to pray. Every one of you that's up here, come back up here for a minute tonight. We're going to pray with you. Come on. Just come back up here and stand across the front. We're going to have a special prayer for you. Ah, Lord, don't you look at that. Y'all spread on over here. If you've been up here tonight, come on, don't be ashamed. Acknowledge Jesus Christ publicly that you're his friend. Take a stand for him publicly. That's why the Bible said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Lord, I don't know. That looks like 40 or 50 at least is up here tonight. Tomorrow the big crowd's coming. So we're going to let these pray, and then we're going to pray with these tonight. I don't know if maybe some of you ladies might slip over here with these little girls here tonight. I don't know who they are or how old they are. Maybe pray with some of our ladies, maybe, if you don't mind. Pray with these little girls here. Bunch of little girls over there. If they're seeking God. You know what the Bible says about that? You know what the Bible says about that? It said, suffer the little children and forbid them not. That's what it says, ain't ready. Suffer the little children and forbid them not. If they want to come to Jesus, you let them come to Jesus. I wish I'd have come to Jesus when I was that little. Might have saved myself a lot of heartache. Well, hallelujah. Get me one more of those lights over there, Brother Jason. On the top. There you go. Amen. Some still praying over here. Now we look, we want to make sure everybody understands exactly. When you realize that you're a sinner, you know, like I was saying, Jesus sent you a friend request. You can understand that, right? He comes in like, I want to be your friend. Well, he wants to be the best friend you've ever had in your life. And you accept, like when somebody sends you a friend request, you can accept it or reject it. That's what, I don't even know how to do a Facebook. But that's what they tell me. You can accept it or reject it. And what you need to do is say, click or check or whatever, I accept him. I believe what he did for me on the cross is a payment. My sins, and I'm not going to hell because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Now, if you prayed that prayer tonight and you meant it and you asked the Lord to save you tonight, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand real high and keep it raised. Raise it real high and keep it raised. Don't put it down. That's what I tell you. All right. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Amen, Brother Braille. Some of you boys got saved. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 17, I don't know. Lord, there's some still in the oven over here. All these little ones here. Y'all ladies dealing with these kids here. You say, oh, I'm the little kids, don't know what to doing. I tell you who don't know what to doing. You adults. You one don't know what you're doing. Or you'd be up here too, getting right with God. Ain't that right? Forbid them not. That's what it says. The Bible don't say a kid's supposed to accept like an adult. It says an adult's supposed to accept him like a kid. Better be careful of that kind of attitude. So I'm assuming that all the rest of y'all is already saved and you just rededicate your life, right? Amen. All right. All right. Now look, I think I counted 17 and maybe closer to 20. And we're just getting started tonight. They videoed this. They audioed this. I hope it come out all right. It's a lot to do in a few days getting all this ready. Now, we have... Brother, everybody listen to me. The Sadler family has a table set up here. He's got some of the coolest shirts you ever seen in your life. Camouflage. I'm going to get me one of them. And they got CDs. You help and be a blessing to the Sadler family. Then we have our youth rally t-shirts right out the door. You better get them because they're going to be gone here in a few minutes. They're $10. Those shiny. We only got one left. Let me auction that one off right there, Brother Ray. Highest bidder right there. Who? Give me you need to read your Bible, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. You get right with God. Sold to Brother Howard for $50. There you are. Give me $50, Howard. What? Hey. Sorry about that, sister. I know you. You're from Maryland, ain't you? That's what I thought. All right, we got people here from Yankees, way up north. And a whole bunch coming. We got people here from Florida. And all kind of foreign countries. Shh. All right, now I need you to listen to me for a minute. We have food. And you need to go buy it. Because we spent a